Prepare to witness the struggle between stone and spirit. You are standing before Michelangelo's Dying Slave, a masterpiece of high Renaissance tension that feels less like a statue and more like a soul attempting to evaporate from its marble cage. The Prison of Stone. Between 1513 and 1516, Michelangelo Buonarroti attacked this massive block of Carrara marble with a singular, almost violent focus. Originally intended for the gargantuan tomb of Pope Julius II, this figure was meant to be part of a series of captives representing the liberal arts, or perhaps the territories conquered by the papacy. Michelangelo famously believed that the sculpture already existed inside the rock. His task was merely to release it. He worked in Rome, often sleeping in his clothes and ignoring food, driven by the belief that he was not creating art, but liberating a living entity from its lithic prison. The fluidity of the non-finito. While we speak of Renaissance perfection, the secret power of this work lies in the non-finito, the unfinished technique. Look closely at the back of the head and the base of the figure. The stone remains raw, scarred by the marks of the sabbia, or heavy chisel. This is not a mistake, it is a psychological masterstroke. By leaving parts of the marble coarse and unresolved, Michelangelo creates a visceral contrast with the highly polished, almost waxy skin of the torso. This technique forces your perception to fluctuate between the reality of the cold rock and the illusion of warm flesh. It makes the death of the slave feel active. He is not merely dying. He is being reabsorbed into the earth, caught in a permanent state of transition that feels hauntingly immediate. The gift of rejection. The history of this sculpture is a saga of grand rejection. The original design for the Pope's tomb was so ambitious, it was dubbed the Tragedy of the Tomb. When the project was downsized due to lack of funds and political infighting, Michelangelo found himself with a masterpiece that no longer had a home. In a fit of frustrated generosity, he gifted the dying slave and its companion, the rebellious slave, to Roberto Strozzi, who eventually took them to France. This rejection fundamentally changed the world's view of the work. Stripped of its religious and funerary context, the statue ceased to be a mere decorative element of a tomb and became an independent icon of human suffering and eroticized exhaustion. It transformed from a servant of a pope into a monument for all of humanity. The ape in the shadow. To find the most elusive detail, you must look where the light fails to reach. Near the slave's left knee, partially submerged in the unworked marble, is the silhouette of a primitive ape. For centuries, tourists have walked past this microscopic carving, assuming it was simply unfinished rock. However, historians believe this monkey is a coded symbol. In the iconographic language of the 16th century, the ape represented Ars Simia Naturae, art, the ape of nature. It is a hidden signature of the artist's struggle. By placing a beast at the feet of this divine, graceful man, Michelangelo suggests that even our most sublime creations are tethered to our animal origins. The slave is dying, but the ape, the raw, mimicking force of art, remains trapped in the stone, forever watching us. What do you think Michelangelo was trying to say about the relationship between physical bondage and the liberation of the soul?